sing at last. No cloud in the heavens a shadow to cast. His smile is upon me, the valley is past. For he is so precious to me. For he is so precious to me. Just to me. Tis heaven below, my Redeemer to know. For he is so precious to me. I praise him because he appointed a place where someday the faith in his wonderful grace. I know I shall see him, shall look on his face. For he is so precious to me. For he is so precious to me. Precious to me. Tis heaven below, my Redeemer to know. For he is so precious to me.
Well, I thank the young folks for their song. Thanks, Esther Hutchinson, for her testimony. And it's all a good start. I didn't know what these folks were going to sing, but they hit the right spot again. Seems like the last two or three times they've sang for us, they just hit the right spot. Just a Sunday or two ago, they sang the song, "There's not a friend like the lowly Jesus. No, not one. No, not one." They didn't know I had a message that morning along the line of Jesus, the friend of sinners. But it did. And hit it just right square on the head another time. And they hit it this morning. And I didn't know what they were going to sing, and they didn't know what I was going to preach. But you'll find my text this morning in the second chapter of Haggai, verse 7. Just a part of that verse. It's a prophetic verse. Prophecy of Jesus. And I'm thinking particularly of the part of it that says the desire of all nations will come. And that's great. And that's a great truth. The desire of all nations. Jesus is the desire of every person's heart. You may question that, but He said, the desire of all nations, in other words, the desire of everybody, will come. Every man has a desire for God. Marjorie Holmes, in the introduction to her book, How Can I Find You, God, said this: people are hungry for God. We are searching for Him. Sex trips, drug trips, mind trips, the whole sensitivity bag are manifestations. The end of the quote. Now, I think that's true. People have a longing, a desire, an outreach in their hearts, and they're going wild trying to satisfy that, trying to find that. All these things and more, many more, are just the devices of Satan to throw us off course in our quest for God and for satisfying the hunger of our souls. We passed through a plague a while back of hippieism. The country was just kind of overrun with hippies. But those people were hungry for something. And the devil imposed that on them as a substitute for what they wanted, what they were really after. Now we have come out of that and merged into the era of occultism. And there are many of these. They're all satanic. They're inspired by Satan, and they have a grip and a bondage in them that's only satanic. But that's just another substitute that the devil has pawned off on hungry people that's looking for something. All this whole thing, and we survey the whole overall picture, it just testifies to the hunger that people have. They're looking for something. They're desiring something. They aren't finding what they're looking for, that's true. But they wouldn't be going wild after all of these things if they weren't looking for something, if they didn't have a hunger. What they hunger for, I think of a little child. And he's just worn out. What he needs and what he wants is just a good nap. Go lie down and refresh himself and get a good rest. But he doesn't know it, and he'll fight that to the very last. You'll just try to get him to go to sleep and maybe spank him a little and do everything, but he'll fight it to the very last. That's what he wants, but he doesn't know it. That's the way souls are about God. They want God, but they don't know that's what they want. So they're trying by every other means to satisfy that longing in their souls. Now, man is a worshipful being. Every man worships something. And the world today is plagued with religion. I call it a real plague of religion. We have pagans, and we have Mohammedans, and we have occultism. And we have Shintoism. And we have many other things under the heading of religion. It's all impositions of Satan to throw people off course in their quest for what they really want. What their desires are. Their desires are for God. Only Christ can fulfill this desire of our souls. And these things, I thought about paganism this morning. And there's a big portion of the world given over to pagan worship. They're worshipers. And they're very earnest worshipers. But paganism is a very downgrading and corrupting kind of religion. And it's corrupted the world, that's corrupted the lives of everybody that participates in it. All these other religions, Buddhism and all the other isms, are the same way. They taught in the school, I knew a lady, Geneva Bailey, a lot of you folks knew her too back at Guthrie, or Geneva Ray. When I knew her first, she was Geneva Bailey. She was a school teacher. And she had to go to college every school vacation time through the summer to keep up her school teaching license. She got down there and they were teaching in one of her classes. And she said what really threw her now. In this class she made a real good grade. Come out high in her class. But what they were teaching was that God had not created man in his image after his likeness, but man had created him a God after his image and in his likeness. Well, the fact that she passed that grade and come out with a high score on it, that just thrown her in a state of confusion that it took a lot of praying to get her out of it. But that's pretty much the case when we look at the world today. Man has created him a God after his likeness, in his image, and in worshiping that God, he has become more and more debased and corrupt and farther from the way of truth in which God made him. But the whole thing is a quest for something. And it's a quest for God. Now God made us that way. And he reserved a place in every human soul for himself. And there's nothing that can fill that place but God. It's reserved for him. Nothing else can satisfy that desire. That spot is full of desire. But nothing can fulfill that desire but God. One said, and I don't know who said this now, so I can't give him credit for it, but he said, "My soul was made for thee, O God, and it will not rest until it rests in thee." Now, that's the way God made the human soul. And everything that people are doing and the courses that they're pursuing and the pleasure-mad world that's out running its course, it's all in a quest to fulfill that something in their souls that has never been fulfilled yet. The same is true of all other substitutes for Christ. Worldly honor, fame, riches, all of these things, they're just miserable substitutes pawned off on the people to throw them off course. They're trying vainly to satisfy their spiritual hunger. Marjorie Holmes said again, "The hunger is innate. Man is born with an insatiable curiosity about the source of his own being." End quote. And what this means is that this hunger is inherent. It's in us at birth. It grows and expands as we grow and expand. But the seed of it is right in us at birth. It's an inherent something. And God has arranged it this way to draw us to Him. Get us reaching out for Him. He made that place for Himself. And it exists in us at birth, and it is unquenchable, and it cannot be satisfied except only in Christ. Now there's a text in Colossians, and I don't know just exactly where it is now, but I think it's about the 2nd chapter, the 10th verse. Says, "Ye are complete in Him." We are component parts of God. And outside of God, we're never complete. It takes an associationship with God to complete us. But He says, "Ye are complete in Him." In Christ, the component parts come together when we find a fellowship with Christ and become associated with the family of God, and Christ moves into our hearts to take control of our lives. The component parts come together and we are completed. We're never completed outside of that. Whatever else you have. Marjorie Holmes says further, "Often the greater the material and intellectual achievements, the more we are," let me see this, "haunted. The more we are haunted by this sense of vacancy, this need for spiritual fulfillment." Now, that sounds strange, doesn't it? But it certainly is true. It is the natural reaction of the inner being to frustration and disappointment when one has reached and obtained what they trusted in for satisfaction and fulfillment, and still the hunger is there and the vacancy exists, the void is more pronounced than ever. We thought it would be satisfied here. We attained to that. We got that. But there's still a void. There's still an emptiness, an unfulfilled desire. Well, we thought surely this would fix it. And we got that, but it's still there. The thing still exists. And the more things we attain to that we hope to find our satisfaction and the fulfilling of our desires in, and we find that the nagging desire is still there, the more frustrated we get. The world's full of frustration. And the world is full of running to and fro. restlessness, ill at ease, dissatisfaction on every head. We don't find many contented people anymore. I remember when I was a boy, contentment was the goal then. Most everybody had a lot of contentment, and they lived more simple lives, and they enjoyed living more. We refer to those as the good old days. That's what they were. Those were good days. And people enjoyed life in those days. And people were content. They were at peace within themselves and at peace one with another. That's been lost. And in the place of it has come a scramble and a jumble. A very unsettled state and condition. Now I have some philosophy at this point. And I can tell you what my philosophy is. In those days when I was a boy, the Spirit of God was close to this world. Religion was more genuine. People were more sincere. When they professed Christianity, they felt an obligation to magnify and glorify the author of Christianity. And they lived close to God, and the Spirit of God, consequently, was close to this world. Now, the Spirit of God is the Comforter. And He is the author of peace in the human heart. And even people who did not have Him, He was near to them. And this element of comfort emanated out from Him and just pervaded the world. Everybody, he was close to the world. Consequently, there was a lot of contentment, peace, satisfaction, joy in living. Things have changed as I grew up and as my hair became gray. I've seen many changes. I've seen changes in the attitudes of the people. I've seen changes in their attitudes toward religion and toward fulfilling their obligations when they profess Christ. I've seen a superficial thing come in and take over in this. We're in a superficial age. Everything is more or less superficial. And religion is too. People don't take it seriously. And they don't mind associating the name of Christ with the beggarly elements of this world. They profess Christ and go on living just like the world does, and like they did before they professed Christ in many instances. A superficial thing. People's hearts have been hardened by this, by the deceitfulness of sin. And as their hearts have been hardened and the Lord has been rejected and the Spirit of God grieved, He's drawing away, getting farther from the hearts of people. And as He lifts, He's taking that element of comfort and of peace with Him. He's the author of comfort and of peace. When He was close to the world, that prevailed. And contentment was prevailing. As He gets far from the hearts of men, they drive Him away. And he gets far from the hearts of men, that element of peace and contentment is going right with him. He's taking it right along with him. And people are in a scramble to discover what they've lost. I remember hearing Brother Husky tell about a business executive. He was a very successful business executive. He had attained to his ambition in this world. But something was lacking. This thing I'm talking about, it was lacking. He didn't have that. So he said to his secretary and other people of his staff, he says, I'm going to be away a few days now. He said, I'm just going away for a few days. And he remembered how his mother had brought him up at her knee and taught him to pray and taught him about Jesus and the good times that he'd had when a child at his mother's knee. So he made arrangements to be away from his office for a few days and he went back home. And he said, Mother, I have come to seek for something. Says, I've missed something. I've lost something. I've made a real success in my career as a business executive and in the business world, I've made a real success, but says, I've missed something. And said, I remember when I was brought up here at your knee. He said, Mother, I want to get right down here at your knee now, and you pray just like you used to pray, and you teach me just like you used to teach me, and Mother, I want you to take me and tuck me in bed just like you used to when I was a little boy. And there at his mother's knee and in his mother's home, the atmosphere all returned and he found what he'd missed along the way. People are missing out on something. They're running wild trying to find it. Many running to and fro. And the masses of our population is just a seething mess. No contentment, no peace, no satisfaction. They've missed the mark. The hunger is still there. Whatever they attain to, the hunger is still there. And when they have attained to the top-notch attainments and the hunger is still there, they're more frustrated than ever. And they don't know which way to look, what to do. So the world's in great confusion today. The desire of all nations, the desire of everybody, the desire of every heart has been bypassed, and people have gone after all of these substitutes that the devil has pawned off on them in their effort to find the satisfaction that they need. I'm going to close my message this morning. First, I want to say you're complete in Him. And I thought on this text a little bit. And I thought people think if I could get this and I could get that, my life would be fulfilled. It'd be complete. But you can have everything this world has to offer without Jesus and you're not complete. You can have Jesus and very little of what this world has to offer and you're still complete. You're complete in Him. It's going to take Him to a complete life for you. Whatever you have, whatever you don't have. It's going to take Jesus to complete your life, to fulfill you. Now, I want to close this little message with a little song. Now, the folks that come to prayer meeting here, they've heard me sing this little song till they know it too. But some of you haven't been in on that, so I'm going to try to sing this little song as a conclusion to my little message this morning. There's nothing so precious as Jesus to me. Let earth and its treasures be gone. I'm rich as can be when my Savior I see. I'm happy with Jesus alone. I'm happy with Jesus alone. I'm happy with Jesus alone. Though poor and deserted, thank God I can say, I'm happy with Jesus alone. 'Twas Jesus who found me and showed me the way to peace upon earth and in heaven. 'Tis Jesus who teaches me daily to pray and walk in the light He has given. I'm happy with Jesus alone. I'm happy with Jesus alone. Though poor and deserted, thank God I can say, I'm happy with Jesus alone. Should father and mother forsake me below, my bed upon earth be a stone, I'll cling to my Savior, He loves me, I know. I'm happy with Jesus alone. I'm happy with Jesus alone. I'm happy with Jesus alone. Though poor and deserted, thank God I can say, I'm happy with Jesus alone. The little story that goes along with that song would go along with my message too. That song was written by an old black man, and he lived alone in a little old hut. He went away to work one day, and while he was gone, his hut caught fire. Burned down, burned everything in it. He came in the evening and his home gone. Everything he had was gone. His meager possessions went right up in flames with his little hut. And he sat down on the stone that had been a step to his entrance door, and he wrote that song. I'm happy with Jesus alone. Amen.